Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Church is boring. Church is irrelevant. I just don't connect with the church. Those are all things that I've been reading lately about church. Our journals are filled with lots of opinions about why our church, like this morning, is so empty. Well, relatively. If we were in Europe, this would be a positive crowd. But it's really true. And these are what a lot of folks say about church. They also say that they find very little that is helpful in worship, that it seems overly planned and executed, and it's either a kind of cold, sterile liturgy, the same thing day after day, or a well-choreographed stage show. So what is it that folks are looking for? And what is the authentic experience with God that they seek? Recently, we were together as a clergy group, and one of our pastors who's an in-campus ministry, was telling us, he was amazed to read the Pew Research that talks about youth, which I pointed out to him came out 2 years ago. But in that, it talked about the growing number of young people who are no longer connected with church. That something along the lines of 25% of young people, and people in general, identify themselves as spiritual but not religious. Another group of people identify themselves as essentially completely disconnected. So somewhere between 40 and 50% of young people have no interest or relationship with church, at least in the way that we know it. And then the question that this pastor asked and that is constantly being asked is, how do we bring those people into the church? Now, I'm pretty patient, but I have to tell you, I am sick of that question because I already know the answer. At least I think I do. You don't. Now that is not a popular answer. Trust me, it's not a popular answer because we're absolutely certain that there must be something that we can do. There must be some technique or program or change that we can make that will suddenly transform young people into being interested in the church. It just isn't so. It's interesting, but it just isn't so. So what is it that's gone wrong? Well, I wonder about that. I wonder because as I hear this Pew Research talk about spiritual but not religious folks are looking for, and this is a quote, they are looking for a personal spiritual experience. Well, aren't we all? A personal spiritual experience. And I think there's some real authenticity and reality in that. I think most of us are trying to figure out how it is that we connect with God. But in my less charitable times, what I keep kind of running up against are folks, not just young people, but all of us as well, who are not so much looking for a personal experience with God, but a personalized experience with God. I'll go back to the work of Andrew Root. Andrew Root tells us that what people are often looking for in all of our lives, there's no more, so not so much to be part of a community, because that was another part of the Pew Research. It found that those folks are looking for a personal relationship a personal spiritual experience, they are not interested in community. Now, there's a problem there, because the one thing that places like ours have to offer is community. So that's why I don't think they're ever coming. That's what we do. So knowing that, and thinking, just want to play out the idea that what some folks are looking for is a personalized spiritual experience. I wonder then what it is that they really want. Andrew Root tells us that these days, especially this next generation that's coming up now, does not define itself by community or family or any of that stuff, but by what they own. So that where, and we talked about this in one of our meetings recently, whereas my grandparents would have talked about the families that they came from. So since I don't know who my family was, I'll use my wife's family. It was the Dietzes. It was those Germans who moved from the Volga region in Germany. And that's how they identify themselves. Oh, yes, 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 you're Leona's daughter. Now, my generation and the one before me doesn't so much. We still identify with family, but we identify by what we do, right? So when especially men come together, two men meet in a bar, and what's the first question they ask? So what do you do? Well, it's really weird when people meet me in a bar and ask me what I do. And I say, I'm a pastor. It kills the entire conversation. So I just make things up. I'm an accountant. Okay. The next generation does not identify themselves either by family or by what they do, but by what they own. Are you a iPhone or Android? I think there's some real truth to that question. They're looking for a life that is personalized, individualized. And I think that also comes to spirituality. And I'm not sure we're so different. We want our religion and our experience with God to be easily understandable, contained, and match with what it is that we think God ought to look like. And I think that's what's happening on that day of the Transfiguration. This incredible thing is happening right there on the mountain in front of the three disciples, right in front of them. All heck is breaking loose. The heavens are opened and old dead prophets come to life. Jesus is shining like the sun. And Peter says, that's really cool. Let's build a booth. Let's build a tent. Now, I don't want to diss Peter too much, because it was a perfectly natural thing that when something amazing happens, you build an altar to it. Right? So when anything significant happens, they would stack up some stones or build a little altar, a way to thank God. But I also wonder if in that moment of complete lack of control and God's inbreaking into the world, Peter isn't trying to bring a little bit of order. Something he can recognize. Something he can sort of get his arms around. A sort of personalized experience. And then suddenly the prophets disappear and Jesus is just there. Put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples, having experienced this kairos moment, this inbreaking of God into the world. What would your reaction be? Fear? Confusion? Or would you try and make sense of it by sort of putting boxes around it? It was fun getting ready for this sermon, because what I found out is that theologians have been trying to put a box around the Transfiguration since it happened. Well, it must mean this, or it should mean this, or I sure would like for it to mean this. But what if it just is? What if it is just a moment in which God inbreaks into the world in a new and exciting way, something we can't control, something we can't put our arms around, something we can't even build a tent to or put an altar over? What if it's just God? Peter can't just live in the moment and find in himself transfiguration. Sometimes that's us too. And maybe that's part of why the church is boring and irrelevant and not interesting for some folks. We've put so many boxes around things that we don't even see that we're keeping people out in our attempt to keep people in. It's a little bit like music. I don't read music. Kathy tried her best to teach me, but it was a vain attempt, truly. But you know, it's interesting when I am with other musicians, I'm always interested in how the Spirit is working through people. And increasingly what I found is, remember how music used to be collaborative? It's not so much anymore in pop music. It's just like church. It's all personalized. When I go to my phone, I can make my own playlist. And I sure don't want the crummy songs on the album. And when I make music, I can do it without anyone else. It's personalized. My son has an app that he introduced me to called Loopy. And in Loopy, there's just a rows of dots. I was going to show you, but you couldn't see it. And then all you do is you press on the dot, and it counts you in, and you can record a loop. And then you go to the next one, and that one, as that one plays, you can record the second part, harmony. And you can play them together. And then the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. So Seth has done entire songs, beautiful, with bass and vocals and multiple vocals, guitar, flute, everything, all by himself. No community, no collaboration, fully predictable, and well controlled. It's one way to make music. But I'm not sure it's how God works in the world, in music or in church. In our desire to make a personalized spiritual experience, we lose the incredible and unpredictable and lovely possibility of making a mistake, of feeling out what it is to have others begin to sing with us in a new way, to listen to voices that aren't even in the room. And so we're going to try something. Jimmy, can you help me? Poor Jimmy. When in doubt, call a Castro. That's what I always say. So you're going to try, well, this could go terribly wrong. I just want to say. So I think in this all week and decided not to do it at least 20 times. But we're going to try it. So you've never heard this, and Jimmy heard about 2 seconds of it a little while ago. D, D. So we're going to see what happens when we let the Spirit move through us. And then you're going to decide whether God is calling you to sing and what part you might want to sing. It's very simple. Come closer to the mic. I can't hear you.
Love will come.
love will come, love will come, peace. Dance will come for the broken. Dance will come for the lonely. Dance will come. Dance will come. So you never really know how God will work within the community and within the church to create something new and unexpected, something that we can't build a tent around or box in. And it happens when we can be open to what God is up to, this beloved child of God, and release in ourselves the Spirit that God brings to us in our birth and in our baptism. Only then will we experience the transformation of Jesus. And only then, I think, will people begin to find God among us. Amen.